the life piece off my glasses this morning. I found it laying there on the floor after Sunday school. I thought at first when I saw it, it might be Brother Doug's, but I looked on my spectacles and it's off of mine. If you know what I'm talking about, I know about the little comfort zone there for the nose. And so I don't know how well I'm going to fare with my glasses. Hope I don't read something lopsided this morning. If I do, you'll correct me, won't you? If I read something to you wrong, think I'm reading out of an NIV or something like that. I'm going to tell you the day that somebody from this pulpit reads out an NIV, but it'll be the day when I'm dead or gone, one of the two. No NIVs at Island Ford Baptist Church. Don't want them in the pews either. Don't want them in your home. King James 1611 Bible. Amen's exactly what we need in our homes today and in the pulpit. And they were all right for our forefathers. It'll do all right for you and I. I guarantee you on that. Amen. And I'm going to ask you this morning, Brother Elliot Smith, and say, turn in your King James 1611 holy, inerrant, infallible Word of God to the book of Psalms, chapter 142. Psalm 142, seven little verses, and we'll read all seven verses here in the morning hour. Amen. Psalm and chapter 142 in your Bibles this morning. Don't forget tonight now, what's your Bible question, 6 o'clock, and we'll give you an opportunity to ask some questions. If you have something, don't want you to be afraid to ask or ashamed to ask. I want you to ask them. And maybe we can help somebody that way. All right. Psalm 142 in verse 1. The Bible said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now that's reading all seven verses of Psalm 142. And I ask you to pray this morning, as Brother Hall does, that God would meet with us. And I'll try to get you out just as early as I can. It's only 12 o'clock. Most churches are already in the line at Ponderosa. And we're just getting ready to preach. What about that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful this morning for the blessed privilege we have of being in the Lord's house. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given us a book that we can trust and believe, that it corrects us and comforts us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit you've given this morning to dwell within, that gives power and comfort to our hearts, strength to our lives, and magnifies the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to sing and to offer our praise unto thee. My earnest desire this morning is, Lord, that you would visit your people here in great power. Lord, in all of your glory, in all of your grace, magnify yourself to every heart today. And I do pray, Lord, for the power of God. I need that filling, that unction of the Holy Ghost this morning. I pray for liberty in the house of God. Lord, as the psalmist said, you'd set us in a wide place this morning, in a large room, and let us preach the truth of the Word of God. Anoint me, I pray. Help my mind to think clearly. Help me to express, Lord, what you've laid upon my heart, and make it a blessing to thy people and bring glory to your name, salvation to the lost. And we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention this morning as a text verse and where I'll draw our thought from verse number 4. I had this verse in our bulletin this morning, and I generally do that of late anyway. I just generally put the verse that I'm preaching from, and occasionally I may not, but most of the times I will. But the Bible said there, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And I want to preach for a little while this morning on this thought. If you'll help me a little bit, and I'll do my best to preach it. And I want to preach on the thought of my right-hand man. The man that is on my right hand to help me in a time of need. I think that phrase ought to be familiar to most people in here if you've been around very long. I'm sure you've seen businessmen, or even I've heard it said in the military, that oh, so-and-so is my right-hand man. He's always there, in other words, to help me. Without him, it'd be difficult for me to get along. He doesn't mind lending a helping hand and working hard on my behalf. And most of the time, he's behind the scenes in a place that is relatively unseen to most. And so I want to preach on that thought, if I may, this morning. I won't mention the title much in my message, but preaching on the thought of my right-hand man. You can read from the title that this Psalm 142 is another one of the Psalms of David. And according to the title, it indicates from the word maskil that it is a psalm of instruction. And, you know, I believe that we can find great instruction from the Word of God. In fact, the Bible said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to you and I for direction, for correction, for righteousness, that we might lead a godly life upon this earth that we're living in. So I believe that I can say this morning that this psalm would be a psalm of great instruction to you and I as a child of God. David here, the sweet psalmist of Israel, finds himself, as he did in most places, in deep trouble and in deep distress. And, you know, I want to say that we find ourselves there a great deal as a child of God, especially in the hour that we're living in today. I may say a little bit more about this tonight, and I'm sure that I will, but I don't believe I've ever seen the devil and the emissaries of hell being unleashed on the world like we're seeing them today. I believe the devil has come in great power and great force upon the earth today because he knows that he's just got a short while left upon this earth to do what he's going to get done. And I believe that because of that, because of the oppression and the depression, that God's people oftentimes, more often than not, will find themselves in deep distress and in deep trouble. I want to say I thank the Lord now that God has allowed me to preach through the book of Psalms. And one reason is because I can relate to the life of David. David spent many hours, I'm telling you, and it's an amazing thing, how that he was the king of Israel. He was chosen of God. He was empowered by the Spirit of God. And yet David constantly found himself in trouble. He constantly found himself in a battle. I want to say, friend, if we're living for God and doing right and trying to live right, that we're always going to find ourselves in trouble. You just might as well mark that down, as I said in Sunday school. We're fighting the current upstream, and everything that's coming downstream is hitting us right in the face. And brother, we better anchor ourselves in the race of God and get ready for a fight to the finish, because we're in trouble today in the house of God. I don't know many places that's not. I don't know many people that's not in great trouble today. And in distress of soul today. And it seems like we just can't get over the hump today. I've watched our church come to the crest of the hill. a number of times, and I've thought in my heart, surely, Lord, this is the time when your people are going to get on the mountaintop and crest the hill and coast for a little while down the other side. But I'm telling you, it seems like just about the time we get to the top of the hill that something smacks us in the face, and we're right back down at the bottom again, right back down in the valley again, and doing our best to struggle to get up to the top of the hill. It's going to be a battle. And we're going to live in that place of deep distress and deep trouble the rest of the way out. But I want to say that David found here a weapon. David found a weapon that he used. The Bible said in verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And again, with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. He said, I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. David said, I just laid all of my trouble out before God and said, here it is. I'm afraid one of our problems today is that we're just not willing to share our trouble with Him. We want to feel like we're stronger than God. And that we're able to do things on our own. But I want to say, my friend, if we'd ever learn to be like Hezekiah and just lay all of it out before God and say, right here is where I'm living, and Lord, if you don't help me, I'm sunk. I believe we'd find help from God. In fact, I know we'd find help from God. Amen. But you know, we come down to that verse number 4. And David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that I would know. Now that right hand is always a place of strength. David said, I looked at where I should find strength, but there was no strength there. I looked at where there should be some power, where there ought to be some help, where there ought to be some confidence and some comfort for my life, but I found none on the right hand. Said, I found no man that cared for my soul. Twice in that passage of Scripture, he uses the phrase, no man. He looked on his right hand and found no man. No man. No man. And then the second time, the Bible said there that no man cared for my soul. But I'm glad when no man cares for my soul. Praise God, I'm glad I got a right hand man. Help that cares for my soul, ladies and gentlemen. Goes beyond caring for my soul. He cares for my life, and he cares for my family, and he cares for our church, and he cares for our land. He cares for our children. He cares for everything about you and I today. No man cared for my soul. I'm going to tell you, when I failed to find a right-hand man that had flesh and blood, I found a right-hand man, my friend that's ascended into the heavens itself. And my right-hand man stands at the right hand of Almighty God. And I'll tell you, he's there to make intercession for you and I. Aren't you glad we've got an intercessor within and an intercessor on high that intercedes for you and I as a child of God? Oh, yes, I'm glad this morning that I've got a right-hand man that cares for my soul. As I put in the Sunday school, our little note in the bulletin, there's times, ladies and gentlemen, when we feel like there's not a friend in the world, like there's nobody that cares and nobody that understands, and there's nobody we can turn to. And I think one of the reasons we feel that way, now come on in the house a minute, is because they're in the same boat we're in. Can you get a hold of that? Why in heaven's name, if I was out in the middle of the ocean, would I want to turn, and my boat that I was riding in was sinking, why would I want to turn to one of the men in the boat and say, give me a helping hand? He's in the same boat that I'm in. That's right, and unless somebody outside of that boat extends a helping hand, we're all going down. Amen. Now I want to say we ought to be looking for somebody outside the boat this morning. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that Jesus is my right-hand man. There's not a name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than that man. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. That's right. I'm telling you, we may not have any help in man in the ship, but I'm glad that there's one outside of the ship that can speak sweet peace to our soul and calm the troubled waters that we're sailing in today. My right-hand man, I looked at that and I thought, no man cared for my soul. That's tragic, isn't it? Souls dying and going to hell and no man cares. Sinners on the brink of woe and no man cares. Sinners stumbling through the darkness of this world and no man cares. Sinners deceived by the devil and no man cares. Sinners blinded by sin and no man cares. Sinners are dead in trespasses and sins and no man cares. I'm going to tell you, we can put ourselves right there. We ain't got much concern about us either. God help us, they're all around us dying and going to hell. And I wonder if some of them are out there struggling in life trying to find some peace and tranquility. And they're saying within their own heart, no man cares for my soul. I want to say to you, I know a man that cares. Oh, does Jesus care? I know that Jesus cares. When my heart is weary and the long nights are dreary, I know that Jesus cares. When my soul is in trouble and my heart is loaded with care, I know that He's concerned about me. And maybe no other man is concerned. Maybe my own spouse is unconcerned about where I'm at, but I'm glad I've got a right-hand man that cares about where I am and what I'm involved in. Hallelujah to God. Are you listening? I look at this mess that's going on with the Passion Play. And folks are flocking to that. And as I said in the earlier, faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. And people are so blinded by that today, thinking they can watch a movie film and get saved by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you, but there may be somebody there that's seeking God. There may be somebody there that's saying in their heart, is there a man that cares for my soul? I want to say to you, Jesus cares. Jesus cares this morning for your soul. That right-hand man, watch it now. Stay right with me. I want to say about four things and we're going to the house. I want to say that Jesus cared for my soul when I was lost. And, somebody said, that's very simple, Brother Hall. Yeah, I know it is. But I'm glad that He cared for my soul when I was lost. Notice in verse number 7, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise Thy name. Oh, I'm glad. That's right. When no man cared for my soul when I was lost, I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus cared for my soul. And, and I'll say it every service. I want to say it again, that He came to where I was. Hallelujah to God. I couldn't get to God. Let me out of the prison, the psalmist said. I'm in prison. Unlock the prison bars and I'll praise You. I wonder this morning to those of you that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that you've had your prison cell door swung wide open. Have you offered Him the praise that is due His wonderful name for what He's done in your heart and life this morning? When I was lost and couldn't get out, Jesus cared for my soul. When I was down and couldn't get up, Jesus cared for my soul. When I was broken and couldn't find anybody to mend my heart, Jesus cared for my soul. Hallelujah to God. When I looked on the right hand and found no man, and on the left and found no man, Jesus cared for my soul. When I could not find the way, He gave me light. Amen. When I couldn't walk, He added strength to my legs and let me walk in truth. When I couldn't see, He opened my blinded eyes. When I couldn't hear, He opened my ears. Woo! Thanks be unto God. I'm glad that He cares for you and I today. Stay right with me now. That's right. Looked on the right hand and no man. There was no man that would even know me. He said, refuge failed me. And there was no man that cared for my soul. But I want to say Jesus cared for me. Hallelujah. Now, hey, get these now three things and we're getting ready to go. Jesus cared for me when I was lost. And He cared for me enough that He sought me. I'm glad that He come looking for me. Have you ever read the story in Luke 15? Oh, how that Jesus gives the story of the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. And He talks about that one little sheep that was out yonder lost and without God. And the Bible said that He left the 99. Get this now. He left them in the wilderness and went out to look for that one little old lost lamb. It was out yonder on the hills a bleating and a crying out for mercy. And the Bible said that, hey, when they found him, that He picked him up and brought him all the way back into the fold. And He said, hey, He said, there's rejoicing in heaven over that one sinner. That God finds more than 99 just persons that need no repentance at all. Are you listening to me now? I won't look now. Honestly, you need to get a hold of that. Jesus sought me in death. Can you get a hold of that? He sought me in death. When I was dead in trespasses and sins, He sought me in death. He came into the realm of the dead where you and I were living. Amen to God. And come a looking for us. What do you start thinking about that? I'd hate to go out in the cemetery tonight about 1 o'clock in the morning and start trying to look up dead people. Be kind of rough, wouldn't it? I'd hate to walk through the morgue, start opening doors and pulling out cadavers. Hey, amen. I'm going to tell you, it's a pretty hairy feeling to think about being dead, but I'm here to tell you, we were worse than that dead neighbor. We were dead in trespasses and sins. I'm talking about being spiritually dead. Had no power to get to God. But I'm telling you, hey, like that little lamb that was out yonder, dead and without God, He came into death and sought us into death where we were. Get a hold of this now. He not only sought us when we were in death, but He sought us when we were in darkness. The Bible said there, and you can turn your Bible, I'm not going to turn mine, you can turn to Luke 15 if you want to. That woman that lost that piece of silver, that coin, that Jesus said, hey, said, what about that widow that had that one piece, had them, what, three pieces of coin, three pieces of silver? And she lost one of them. Said she's going to light that candle and get a broom and go to sweeping. And she's not going to be satisfied in that house until she finds that one piece of silver that was lost. The Bible said that she'd light a candle and look for it. Aren't you glad that when we were in death that He sought us? Oh, but when we were in darkness, He came to where we were in that darkness of death and lighted our souls with the Word of God. And sought us in darkness and brought us great light while we were in darkness. Hallelujah. Had it not been for the light of the Lord, I'd still be dead and in darkness today. And I'm glad He came to me in death and spoke to my heart, quickened me by His power and brought me out of death and shined the light of the gospel into my soul. Give me a clear path to lead me out. Oh, He cared for you when you was lost. He cared enough that He sought you. Sought you in death and sought you in darkness. But oh, get a hold of this. The Bible said not only did she light a candle, but she took a broom and began to sweep. Now, the last time I checked out, you got a broom and swept because there's dirt in the house. Amen. He not only sought you in death and darkness, but He sought you in dirt. Somebody said, oh, I wasn't in dirt. You a lie and get you gone. Can your mammy don't want you? There ain't a soul in here saved today that wasn't living in filth up to your eyeballs. I'm talking about in nice and filth up to your eyeballs. You get a hold of that. Ungodly as we were. And some of you testified in here about your past life and how you lived it. You would have to agree with Brother Hall that you was living
in death and living in darkness and living a dirty, vile, wretched life. But oh,
when no man cared for your soul, Jesus came into the cesspools of sin where we were living and lifted us out of the cesspools of sin. Hallelujah to God. Isn't that wonderful to know? Man, I'm telling you, every time I think about where I was when he found me, I got something over there just this week meditating on preaching this message. Now let my mind run all the way back to those days. I'm telling you, talking about a wild, vile, sinful, wretched, ungodly man that I was. Amen, and had no hope in men. They were all just like I was. How could somebody like me help me? I needed somebody that had something that I didn't have. I'm telling you, Jesus sought me in death and sought me in darkness and sought me in the dirt. And he that had something I didn't have brought me out. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I want to say that not only he sought me in death and darkness, sought me in dearth, but he sought me in the dearth also. He gives the story of those two sons. Are you listening to me? Boy, I like this, and if I can find my glasses, I will turn, because this is so much like the scripture that I just read to you. Amen. You know how that one younger son demanded all that the father had? Demanded everything that the father had. Amen. And demanded it all. The Bible said that he went into a far country and spent everything he had on a riotous living. Joined himself to a citizen of that country. And that man sent him into the field to feed the swine. Oh, but the Bible said in verse 16 of that chapter, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Get this. And no man gave unto him. I've never seen that before at all. All the times I've read through that. There he is down in the land of famine. Down in the land of death, my friend, starving to death. The Bible said that he'd even eat the same things the hogs were eating. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. We have eat the same mess the hogs was eating. We've all had our heads in the hog trough, buddy, rooting in that slop. And I've got news for you, just like him. No man gave to him. My text says, and no man cared for my soul. That verse says, no man gave to him. And I don't know any man that gave to you or me. But I know a right-hand man that came to where I was when I was starving to death. And the Bible said that when he came to himself, woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that my right hand man aroused my mind, my spirit and soul. Carried my mind all the way up to the Father's house. Knowing the Father, the servants in the Father's house. The Bible said it's got more than I've got down in this hog pen. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to run to the Father and tell him, Father, I've sinned against God and against heaven. And he said, I don't deserve to be a son. Just make me as one of the servants. But my text says when he, Father saw him afar off and ran to greet him and fell on his neck and kissed him and called for the servants to bring forth the best robe and put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. Said, go kill the fatted calf for this, my son. That was dead is alive, and he that was lost is found. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad when no man cared for my soul that the Father cared for my soul when I was lost. And he sought me in death, and he sought me in darkness, and he sought me in the dirt, and he sought me in the dirt, and came to where I was. Now, don't nobody leave me. Don't nobody leave me. Not only did he, when I was lost, he sought me. But when I was lost, He bought me. Is anybody listening today? Is anybody at home? He bought me. I read this verse and I'm telling you, I like to jump up and down. Bible said in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go get. Love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." He said, "So I bought her. I bought her. I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an omer of barley, and for a half an omer of barley." He said, I bought her. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, when I was lost, Jesus not only sought us, church, but He bought us. And get this, the Lord told Hosea, said, "You go and buy that adulteress." Just like Israel has played the part of an adulterous bride to me, O adulterous wife. You go buy her. Amen. Jesus not only sought us, but thank God when no man cared for our soul, Jesus bought us. That tells me nobody didn't really want us. We is worth absolutely nothing to them. But oh, Jesus bought you and I out of the slave market of sin. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you that the devil had us on the auction block in the slave market of sin. And we were being sold as a servant of sin to put a hook in our nose and to cause us to serve sin all the days of our life. You get a hold of this, and I want to intervene right there and say that rejection of the Lord Jesus to every sinner under the sound of my voice will mean that hook in your nose all of your life. And you'll never get out of the hog pen like that young son did. And you'll never get out of the darkness. And you'll never get out of the dirt like that silver coin did. And you'll never get out of death. Never get out of death. That sin will put a hook ring in your nose. And brother, you're doomed for the pits of hell. Somebody told me, somebody didn't tell me, I learned this the other day. Somebody's asking me about Jehovah's Witness. Said they talk about the grave. Said, how can I get over on the grave? Said they said the grave's the end of the line. I said, need to take them over to the book of Revelation and show them how death and hell are going to be cast into a lake of fire. Are you listening? But oh, I'm glad Jesus sought me. And I'm glad He bought me with His own blood. He bought me when no man cared for my soul. Jesus sought me and He bought me, kissing carefully. When He sought me and He bought me, and then He brought me. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, we ain't doing much of it this morning. But I'm going to tell you where He brought me to. I preached through this in the Song of Solomon. Woo! Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Hallelujah. Sought me and He bought me. Brought me and brought me down to the church house. Set me on a pew, buddy, and let me revel around in the love of God. Oh, yes. His banner over me and you was love. What a wonderful God when no man cared for our soul.
Amen.
That's right. God sought us. And God bought us. And God brought us. He is our right-hand man when no man cares for our soul. I want to say secondly, stay right with me now. Stay right with me. God cared for us. God cared for David here when he was lost. David said, "He brought me out of the prison house." I want to say, number two, that He cared for David when he was low.
Amen.
Read verse number 6 with me. Don't leave me this morning, please, or afternoon, whatever it is. David said, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low." Very low. David said, "I looked on my right hand and refuge found me, and there was no man that would know me." And no man cared for my soul. And I'm telling you, he said, when I was low and when I couldn't get up, it seemed like the man of God didn't even care. It seemed like my spouse didn't care. Nobody else could care and understand me where I was at. The condition that I was in. And I want to say to you, friend, when we're low, I'm glad, thank God, when we're down as low as we can get, as I preached on here one night, it's time to get up. When we're down that low and we cannot get up, I'm glad that there's a right-hand man, ooh, that cares for my soul. I want everybody to listen carefully now. I couldn't, when I preached, I prepared this, I couldn't help but to think of that little old maiden of Sarah by the name of Hagar.
Right.
That Sarah saw that little old boy, that little old Ishmael, kind of mocking at Isaac. And Sarah said, "Cast him out! Cast her and him both out!" And the Bible said in, I believe, chapter 21 or chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, you have to turn there and find it. But come the next morning, that old Abraham gave her a bottle of water for her and that boy and sent her and that boy out.
Right.
The Bible said, and I'll read this text, read this part to you. Gave her that bottle of water and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. You imagine how low that little woman had to be. She had been brought up in the house of Abraham. Brought up under riches and wealth. Brought up under the goodness of God. But she's driven out into the wilderness. And there, I'm satisfied that Hagar, when she sat down over against that tree, and the Bible said, and she began to weep over that little boy that was laying maybe a stone's throw or an arrow shot from her. You talking about being low, ladies and gentlemen. You ever been in the wilderness and thought nobody cared about you and your little boy? Thought nobody cared about your wayward child. Didn't think the church cared anything about your little son that didn't come to the house of God anymore.
Yes,
nobody cared about your daughter that had went by the way of the world. Nobody cared about your own children that sits on the pews from week after week.
Yes,
you ever thought about that? Lord, I'm in the wilderness and there is nobody that cares for my boy.
Amen.
I want to tell you there's one that cares.
Yes,
I find it a marvelous thing that when Abraham didn't seem to care and Sarah didn't seem to care and it seemed like nobody else would lend a helping hand and there was nobody around her but her and that boy. And the Bible said, a voice spoke to her and said, "Hey, I've heard the voice of the lad. I've heard the voice of the lad." And said, "Don't weep. I'll make a great nation out of that little boy too, because he's out of the loins of Abraham."
Amen.
The Bible said that God opened her eyes and she saw a well. She saw a well of water.
Hey.
Oh, hallelujah to God. Now, don't nobody leave me now. Three little points under that. When she was low, I want to say, I mean as low as she could get, God still loved her.
Amen.
Brother Robert, I've thought over and over and time again. Lord, why are we in the mess that we're in? Why is the church where it's at? Why is there no joy and it seems like there's no power, no presence? And so many times we struggle to preach and labor to try to get something across to the people. Why, oh why, oh why, oh why, Lord? And I'm going to tell you something. And it's an amazing thing. This morning, I was sitting in there meditating on that very thought. And here's what the Holy Ghost said. Are you listening to me? Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
That nothing has ever taken you but such as is common to man.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost said, and all things still work to the good. And I said,
amen.
Lord, I preach that to our people, that all things work together for our good. And here we are in a low valley, and here I am grieved in my heart and wondering what in the world is going on. I said, and that's to myself, I'm saying, Lord, What's the problem? And look here. And the Holy Ghost said, all things still work together for good. And I thought, the Lord's going to bring something good out of this. The Lord is going to bring something good out of this. And I said, right now, in that little old chair in Sunday school. And Brother Doug read the same verse of Scripture out of Romans 8 that I was meditating on. Now get this now. So we're preachers and we're all, I'm a preacher and all preachers are flesh and blood. And I think somewhere along the line, we get the idea that all things work together for good in the lives of other people. But when them things begin to work in our own lives, we wonder how in heaven's name is this going to be any good in my life, Lord. We like to preach it. And I'll tell you, when we preach it, make sure God's going to make us live it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know where God will bring us out. But I know one thing. He that leads into the valley of despondency and despair, who will surely lead us out of that same valley. Mark her down. It was God that led Hagar down into that wilderness. And it was God that led Hagar out of that wilderness. And he led her there because he had a purpose. And he led her out of there because he had a purpose. Make a nation out of that little old boy that came out of the loins of Abraham. And I'll tell you, friend, he's got a purpose in our life. And he's led this church to where we are.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I'm human. And I've pondered in my own heart. I've went around this church one by one. And I've said, Lord, is it this person? Lord, is it that person? Lord, is this person the reason we got problems? Is this person the reason we got problems? I've come to myself and I've said, Lord, am I a sinner? If I've got sin in my life, what's my problem?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I went around there one and one and one and one, and about the time I think I've got somebody figured out that's got a problem, I find out they didn't have a problem.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that now? It's not an individual problem.
Amen.
It's a people problem with us and a place that God has led us.
Amen.
And it ain't only you, it's your pastor. We're all down in that valley together. It's a marvelous thing when I think about it, Brother Andy. I could run my head through a wall. That God has led this entire church into a valley.
Right.
And brought us very, very low. David said, Lord, I'm brought low.
Amen.
God's led us low.
Amen.
Because he's got a purpose when he brings us out.
Right. Amen. Amen.
That ought to make some of you all just get up and shout, fellas. Still believe in Romans 8:28, don't you, Jerome?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
David said, I'm low.
Amen.
I don't know nothing happen in our life. It doesn't happen because the Lord lets it be there.
Amen.
We're there. I've looked at you, and I've numbered your problems, and I've said, surely this is it. And sometimes I've preached against it. May I say in the flesh, probably.
Amen.
And oftentimes I've looked at me. But I've come to the conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, that God has led us into the valley.
Amen.
That he might bring us out with a purpose. And look here,
yes.
You cannot get any lower than that little girl sitting out in the wilderness, and no man cared for her soul.
Amen.
Not even Abraham.
Amen.
Not even the daddy to her boy.
Amen.
Would take the right stand and care and love that woman. Nobody cared for her. Her daddy didn't care. Her husband didn't care. Her family didn't care. Nobody cared. But sitting there in that wilderness, and the last drink of water done went down that little boy's throat. Hagar. Hagar. Fear not. For God sees you and your son. And by the way, look over yonder. There's a well of water over there, Hagar. Now get this. Get this. Three little things and I'll run through them. When she was low, God loved her.
Amen.
Isn't that the first thought that runs through our mind? Come on in the house now. When we get down low, we'll say, hey, surely there's sin somewhere in my life and I can't find it. God don't love me anymore.
Amen.
You ever thought that? I bet Hagar did. I'll confess to you, I have.
Amen.
Amen.
Surely there's sin and God's withdrawn from me and God just don't love me anymore. But I'm telling you, when we're low, God loves us. And get this, when we're low, God lifts us. And get this point, when we're low, God lightens us. Somebody said, what do you mean lightens? God opened her. I could run my head through a wall on this one. Come on. God said, God opened her eyes and she lost and there was a well of water. God lightened her. God opened her eyes there in the valley. Oh, wonderful things, wonderful things, wonderful things, wonderful things, wonderful things can happen in the valley. God opened her eyes to that well of water yonder in the valley. He'll make the valley like Becca. Some of you ain't ever read that, and have you? You ever been? And she went, and she saw a well of water. And get this, she filled her bottle. Whoop! Hey man, I'm glad when we're low, He loves us, He lifts us. Hey man, to God, He lights us, and He'll fill your bottle. God filled your bottle today. He's filled my bottle. Don't leave me now. I'm about done. No man cared for David's soul when he was. God cared for him when he was lost and brought him out of the prison. Verse 6, God cared for him when he was low. I won't say in number 3. God cared for old David when he was lacking. Look in verse number 7 again. The last part of that. For thou shalt deal bountifully with me. If David was looking for God to deal in a bountiful way, that tells me he was lacking something. You ever feel like you lack something? Now, I'm not going to turn there because I preached it. But 2 Corinthians 14. And you know the story quite well of old Paul. Paul said, I know one 14 years ago was caught up to third heaven. Where is anybody or out of the body? I don't know. Did the Lord know it? He said, that same man saw things unlawful that are to speak upon this earth. Oh, and he said, I had visions and revelations. But he said, lest, and I'm just paraphrasing, lest I should be swelled up with pride. He said, God, give me a thorn in the flesh. And I want you to get hold of this. I've never seen it before in my life. He said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh to buffet me, a messenger of Satan. I want you to get hold of this. Why do you think God give him that thorn in the flesh? Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. God gave him that thorn in the flesh. And the Bible said he asked it to be moved 3 times. You know why he asked it to be moved? He was lacking something in his life.
Amen.
Paul didn't feel like he could tolerate that thorn.
Amen.
And he prayed 3 times that God move it from him. You ever have something in your life you felt like you could not tolerate any longer?
Yes. Amen.
God, amen. Remove it.
Amen.
God said, I don't want to remove it. I want you to bear it. And the only reason you can't carry the load, Paul, is because you're lacking a little something.
Amen.
That's the only reason you and I can't carry a lot of loads today. We're lacking a little something.
Yeah.
So, hey, somebody want to jump up right quick and tell me what it was Paul was lacking? Tell me. It's right in the Bible. It's in letter, big red letters in there. If you got a Schofield Bible, it's in big red letters. Huh? Woo! My grace is sufficient for thee! I'm telling you, we live in a generation that knows nothing at all about what grace really is. Well, get this thorn out of my side. Hey, you just need a little grace. Yeah, grace is bearing what we think we cannot bear. And grace is loving what we cannot love. And grace is doing what we cannot do. Wonderful grace. Man, I'm telling you, the more I study grace, Anybody here lacking a little grace in your life? Brother Hall, don't believe I can get back to where I was 3 or 4 years ago. You just lack a little grace. Brother Hall, don't think I can pray like I used to pray. You just need a little grace. I don't think I can praise Him anymore. You just need a little grace. Lacking. See, He cared for me when I was lost and when I was low and when I was lacking.
Amen.
And you could preach on things that we lack for a month. But I'll tell you one thing we all lack is grace.
Amen.
Loving those that are unlovely.
Amen.
You think we're able to love those that hate us? Let that soak in on you a minute.
Amen.
Thanks, Clifford Boy. We've worn out a certain situation. Maybe God wants us to appropriate enough grace to stay in certain situations.
Amen.
I imagine old Job wiggled and wallowed and begged and pleaded, but God said, "You sit right there, Job,
until I tried you." And Job happened to realize where he was and what God was doing. And when he finally realized where he was, he said, "I know when I'm tried, I'll come forth and go. So just leave me right here, Lord, until I'm tried and purified. And I'll come forth as gold." We haven't seen much yet. They throwed old Peter down yonder in the prison. He laid down between four soldiers and went to sleep. Sleeping when he's going to cut his head off the next morning on Easter Sunday. I'm talking about grace, ladies and gentlemen. When Paul and Barnabas had their little fight and argument, now I want to show you something right here. There'd been a whole lot of fighting and fussing between preachers. There'd been a whole lot of fighting and fussing between people.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, Paul and Barnabas had their little spat, and Paul went one way. Barnabas went another way. Took John Mark with him. And Paul took Silas with him. I'm going to tell you, get on over in the Scriptures, and Paul's sitting there in that prison, and he's writing that last letter, and he said, "Bring Mark with you. He's profitable for the ministry." And I'm going to show you something. There's two men fighting. And here's a young man that Paul said, "I don't want that boy. He ain't got what it takes. He's just a little sorry wimp, wants to go back and hide under mommy's dress tail. Just don't bring that little wimp around me no more. I don't want to be around him." But somewhere along the line, are you listening to me? Paul had to go. Bring John Mark. He's profitable now. Now look here. There's nowhere you ever find in the Bible that Barnabas ever swallowed that deal. And the Bible never says another thing about him nowhere. Paul went on to be a great missionary. You know why? Paul was lacking a little something called grace. Most of us are lacking a little grace.
Amen.
I seen my teddy bear going back there this morning. I wanted to choke Sharon Dockery to death. She didn't even have a teddy bear. It's always Sharon's fault. It's just a joke. You know, sometimes Sharon walked in there in the door this morning. She said, "Brother Hall, I didn't take the decorations down." She left. All them men sitting in there. I said, "Well, we better stop assuming some things, hadn't we?" Had to swallow a little bit. You know why? Need a little grace.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of it. When we realize that we need a little grace and realize, hey, don't be ashamed of it. I want to say, no man cared for my soul when I was lost, when I was low, when I was lacking. I'm going to tell you another thing you're lacking. We're getting ready to close. I know it's about You listen to me. Not only are we lacking grace, but get this. You know why it ain't on in here this morning? We're lacking glory.
Amen.
Glory. I'm telling you, God showed me something on this. And just, I'm going to give it to him. Hey, we're going to the house here in a minute. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give what? Grace and glory. Now, I want you to listen. Glory, that word means numerous, rich, and honor. In other words, God makes us rich in grace and God gives us an honorable position. That's God giving glory to us. Now listen carefully. That's God giving glory to us. But Paul said over there in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 14, he said, I'm not going to glory in these revelations that I've had. They said, I'll tell you what I will glory in. I'll glory in the Lord. Now you listen very carefully to me. God gives us glory, ladies and gentlemen. He has. He's brought you out of death. He's brought you out of darkness. He's brought you out of the filth and the scum of the world. He has lifted you and loved you and lightened you when you were low. God's given you grace. When you were puffed up in pride and needed help. And I'm going to say this, and I would like to take a lap. If I knew I had enough energy, I would. God's going to give the glory back. Thank you, Brother Jerome. Thank you, Brother Jerome. I'm not got a whole lot of energy like I have this morning. Like to have it. I'm glad Jerome taking a lap for me. For the Lord will give grace and glory. But he goes on to say, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Now look here, God gives us grace. That is, God gives us an honorable place. God makes us rich in him and rich in holiness and righteousness. And God does it, that word means numerous, in numerous ways God gives grace. But look here, Paul said, I already give glory back to him.
Amen, that's right.
And that word glory there means joy and rejoice.
Amen.
And it's simply this, ladies and gentlemen, when he gives glory to us, we ought to give glory back to him.
Right. Amen.
Sure. Keep the channel door open. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm closing. He's my right hand man when I was lost. He was David's right hand man when he was lost. David's right-hand man when he was low. David's right-hand man when he was lacking. David said, he'll treat me in a bountiful way. But he was David's right-hand man when he was leaving. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, are you listening carefully? When you're laying on your deathbed, and there's no man. I thought of David Livingston dying on his knees on an army cot in the jungles of Africa, and not a man in the room where he was at. But I'm going to tell you, his right-hand man was standing right there. When he was leaving. I don't know when I leave and I don't know when you leave. But I'm going to be honest. Can I say this to you in all honesty? I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I know we preach everybody today into heaven. But I wouldn't have a problem laying every soul in this church right there and preaching you to heaven. I mean that. You've proved to me when the rest of them's kicking out, you've hung with it. Are you listening? Now, you may not be. I don't know. It's my responsibility to preach to you like you lost.
Amen.
But down in my heart, I want to believe you're saved. And I'm going to say this. You've lived like you're saved. And when others have caved in and given up and give out, and some of you have had good reason to leave. If anybody ever had reasons to leave, some of you in the church have had a reason to leave this church. But you stayed right here. And I'm going to tell you, when you leave this old world, Brother Hall ain't going to have a bit of problem. If you leave before I do, standing right up there and preaching the best way I can to preach a little glory into your home going. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right-hand man. I looked on my right hand and refuge filled me. There was no man that knew me. There was no man that cared for my soul.
Amen.
But I'm glad that Jesus cares.
Yes.
When we're lost, low, lacking and leaving.
Amen.
Now, I could have thrown this in. Jesus cares when we're learning.
Amen.
Who's your right-hand man this morning?
Amen.
You got a right-hand man? Let's stand together.